Hello and welcome on into a Tape Tuesday installment of Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield sitting here in the big chair on this Tape Tuesday edition of Locked On Patriots, your favorite daily Patriots podcast. Reminder to follow me on Twitter at Mark Schofield. Check out the work at places like InsideThePylon.com, Pro Football Weekly, The Score, Matt Waldman's Rookie Scouting Portfolio, Big Blue View. If there's an outlet covering football, chances are, friends, they've got me doing some work covering the game for them. Loaded show for you today on this Tape Tuesday installment of Locked On Patriots. A little bit later, we're going to talk Sam Darnold, Josh Allen. Got a chance to study their games here last night, going through the tape and get some thoughts on them. Two quarterbacks that the Patriots are probably going to be seeing as we get in a little bit later into the season. But first, as promised, on this Tape Tuesday installment, I'm going to try to focus on the guys up front, the guys in the trenches. When we talk defense, I'll get to the second level a little bit as well. But so much of my work studying quarterbacks, talking about the passing game, tends to focus on those positions, quarterbacks, wide receivers, defensive backs. I thought it would be good to take a look at the guys up front, focusing on last week's game against Indianapolis, as well as perhaps a window into what Bill Belichick is thinking about how to handle the new NFL offenses. We'll start on the offensive side of the ball, though. This is going to be more of an ode to Shaq Mason. Longtime listeners and friends of the show know that I have a soft spot for the Patriots' right guard. Big fan of his. Really loved what we saw from him on tape last year. And so with some time over the weekend, I got a chance to look back at what he did against the Indianapolis Colts. And what really sort of stood out to me, and this gives us a chance to talk about Bill Belichick, the talent evaluator here, is Mason's athleticism in space up to the second level. Now, let's remember about Shaq Mason's background. He's coming from an offensive system at Georgia Tech, the flex bone, Paul Johnson, triple option, where he's asked a lot to move, to pull, to get out into space, to get in front of plays and things like that. And I think we get to see that on almost a drive-to-drive, almost a play-to-play basis with Mason. And, you know, he does some great jobs in pass protection. He's very good on the interior. A lot of times on Thursday night, he didn't have somebody lined up across from him in pass pro. He had a shaded nose tackle to his inside, usually on the right shoulder of center David Andrews. But he was very good at helping initially on him while he was waiting for somebody to flow back to his way. But let's focus on the run game stuff. We can talk about a couple of plays specifically to highlight sort of his athleticism in space. And a play where I want to start early in the second quarter, it's a first and 10 situation, 14:03 mark of the first quarter. This is that Sony Michel run where he just unloads on Clayton Gaithers, the safety for the Indianapolis Colts. And this is a prime example of Mason sort of getting to the second level and showing that athleticism in space, because he has, again, that inside defensive nose tackle inside of him to the right shoulder of David Andrews. He doesn't have to help on him at all. He's sort of got the bubble in front of him. There's a defensive end well outside of right tackle Shaq Mason. So he's got a linebacker, number 52. That's about 4 or 5 yards off the ball. And that's who he's responsible. And on this play, we see Mason come off the ball very quick with his ability to get to that second level. And what was good about what he does here, even though he knows he's got to get to the second level, that's his guy, he's got to get up there, his first step is still not straight ahead, but it's still to the right. It's in unison with Sony Michel's footwork. And that's so he can protect that inside gap, that gap to his right between him and Marcus Cannon, the right tackle. So he takes that step for a reason. If they get some sort of twist, if there's a slant, if there's something, and he doesn't take that step, this play is going to get stopped in the backfield. So he takes that step first, and then gets up to the second level and does such a great job of sort of mirroring this linebacker. The linebacker doesn't have a chance. You would expect this linebacker to be able to beat Shaq Mason one-on-one, sort of in space. No, sir, no, ma'am. He gets right onto him, gets into his half body, you know, that sort of right shoulder of the linebacker, drives him down the line of scrimmage a bit. Linebacker never has a chance. He's the only player that's got a shot here at getting to Sony Michel, because the Patriots go why wham here. This is that play where Gronk, he's the guy that comes down and actually blocks that nose tackle that aligns inside of Mason. The only player that gets put literally in the hole is that linebacker, and Mason just erases him. Another thing that I really liked in this game, a couple of times they had some runs down near the goal line following up this play, and Marcus Cannon and Shaq Mason did a tremendous job in tandem on their combo blocks right at the point of attack. The first run, it's a first and goal situation down at the two. The run's more to the inside, almost to the other side of the formation, but they just fold Cannon and Mason, that defensive tackle, in half. It's the same thing on second down. This is more of a reach block from Cannon where he has to work to the outside because of how the Colts stagger their defense here, and the play that's called is an outside sort of zone run to the right. And Cannon and Mason work terrifically in tandem, where Cannon sort of gets into the guy first. Mason then is allowed a step to get into him as well. Another critical block, double team at the point of attack. Let's talk about his second level athleticism. A little bit later in the second quarter, Mason had a different linebacker aligned across from him. Earlier it was number 52, Najee Good, who seemed to be a little bit more passive. A little bit later in the game, at least in the second quarter, he had Zaire Franklin, a rookie seventh rounder out of Syracuse, who seemed more aggressive, more willing to attack downhill. And Mason was able to react to that and handle it. And a perfect example of that comes on a second and five play at the 302 mark of the second quarter. This is a Sony Michel run up the middle down to the Indianapolis 16, a gain of 15. And again, we sort of see once more where Mason is sort of that bubble offensive lineman. He has a defensive tackle, that nose tackle inside of him. The defensive end to his side of the formation is well outside the right tackle. So he's got that linebacker across from him. This time it's Zaire Franklin. Once more, it's sort of an inside run. And instead of waiting, instead of being passive, Franklin comes. Now, I don't know if it's a blitz or what, but he attacks downhill immediately. Mason comes out of his stance, and he expects to be able to sort of work his way up there. But seeing him attack, it's a split-second reaction where he just lunges into him, nudges him out of the way, and gets him to the ground. What that does is it allows James Devlin, who's the lead blocker on this play, he doesn't have to worry about this guy. He gets back to that weak side linebacker who's trying to scrape over. He erases him. This time it's Good. You know, Najee Good, who Devlin erases, gets him to the turf. That leaves Michelle already into the third level of defenders, already into the secondary. That's a perfect example of Mason, sort of his athleticism, his ability to sort of pick that up, read that on the fly, see Franklin coming and doing just enough to get him to the turf to allow Devlin to make his block and the Patriots to sort of get another big gain. Finally, the touchdown from Sony Michel, just a tremendous pull from him. This is that fourth quarter run at the 7:15 mark. Mason comes out of his stance, quick little feet, chop down the line of scrimmage. He gets the linebacker trying to fill his run fit. It's Najee Good, number 52, who's probably going to have nightmares about Shaq Mason and number 69 coming towards him. Mason just erases him in the hole, a touchdown. So I thought it was just a fantastic game all around from Shaq Mason, giving me a chance to sort of wax poetically about him for a few minutes here. Up next, we're going to talk about the defensive side of the ball and the trenches a little bit. I'm going to focus on the number three. Listeners to this show know that I spent the preseason sort of talking about the number four. Well, I'm going to change it up a bit. I'm going to talk about the number three. But first, I'm even more excited to talk to you about our great friends over at Lokai. You need a little extra swag for game day? Lokai, they've got your back with their brand new game day collection. I'm not a big jewelry guy. I'm not a big bracelet guy. But these bracelets, they're bracelets that come with an amazing message. And their company, Lokai, they also support some incredible causes with some of the donations they make to charity. The Lokai Game Day swag comes in all team colors, including Patriots colors. And they hold water from Mount Everest, the highest point on Earth, and mud from the Dead Sea, the lowest point on Earth. They serve as a daily reminder, these bracelets, to keep that balance in your life between the highs and the lows. Again, not a big jewelry guy, but these bracelets, they have an awesome message which personally helps me as somebody that's struggled with that sort of mental health approach to life. They've helped me keep focused during both the good and the challenging times in life. Since Lokai are friends of the show, they're offering you an exclusive discount of 25% off all game day collection bracelets. Guys, check these out. You're going to love them. Use the promo code PATRIOTS25 when checking out, and boom, you can thank me later for the discount. Go to Lokai.com and use that promo code PATRIOTS25 to take advantage of this amazing deal. Up next, we're going to talk about the Patriots on defense, specifically the number three. A little Sesame Street action. That's ahead on this Tape Tuesday installment of Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now on this Tape Tuesday installment of Locked On Patriots. And I was going to talk about a lot in this show. At least my plan was, when I was going to talk about the Patriots on defense, was to focus on things like run fits and things like that. If you want an example of a run fit, take a look at Indianapolis' first play on Thursday night. It's a first and 10 at the 8:58 mark. It's a Nyheim Ryan's run up the middle for 4 yards. But you want to talk about a player sort of fitting that hole as a defender? Dante Hightower. You know, it's a huge contrast between him on this play and some of the plays we were just talking about with Najee Good, because he's the guy in the bubble now. He's aligned off the ball, but in that B gap, you know, between the right guard and the right tackle, he's got, you know, a defender outside of him. He's got a defensive tackle on the inside. And as the play begins, what does he see? He sees the guard block down. He sees the tackle block outside. That means the hole is going to be right in front of his face. He's not passive. He doesn't wait. He attacks it downhill. There's a pulling guard coming over. Actually, it's a pulling tackle this time. The tackle pulls over. He doesn't wait. He doesn't wait to let the tackle take him on. He goes and takes him on, meets him right in the hole at the line of scrimmage, stacks him up in the hole, then sheds off of him as well. Trey Flowers and Patrick Chung, they're the guys that flow to the ball, but he has to do his job there, and he does it with a particularly well-executed run fit. I was going to talk about Kyle Van Noy. I thought Kyle Van Noy did some great stuff sort of scraping off the edge. There were times when they were executing some hinge blocks on him where, you know, the tackle sort of tries to wheel him to the outside, but Van Noy did a fantastic job sort of getting around him and sort of then knifing down the line of scrimmage. But the more I studied this Patriots defense from Thursday night, the more something started to click in my head. And we talk about it so often as Patriots fans, as people that talk about the Patriots in the media or write about the Patriots, about how Bill Belichick wants to start having his teams play better football into November, December, and January, and hopefully into February. And what you see at the start is not what you're going to end up with when you're looking at the New England Patriots, particularly on defense. And I think we're seeing another example of that play out before our very eyes, because I mentioned this in the post-game show. We talked about it in the Locked On Patriots Slack channel. Again, if you want an invite to that, hit me up at Mark Schofield on Twitter, mark.schofield at insidethepylon.com. The number three, particularly meaning 3-2-6, three down linemen, two linebackers, six defensive backs. We saw a lot of that on Thursday night, and the more I rewatched and rewatched and broke down that game from Thursday night, the more I realized that this is sort of Belichick's answer to what we're going to be seeing from offenses coming up, including the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, all these question marks about getting athletic at the second level. Well, there's one way you could do it. You could draft linebackers who are athletic. Or there's another way you could do it. You could take a safety type who can play linebacker and drop him down. And that's what we're seeing more and more of from Patrick Chung. And there's a tremendous example of this late in the first quarter. It's at the 1:52 mark. It's a first and 10 situation. And the Patriots come out sort of with their 3-2-6 defense. They've got three down linemen. They put Kyle Van Noy on one edge. They put Dante Hightower at the other edge. And they got Patrick Chung basically aligned as a middle linebacker. And it's not that the Colts are in sort of a, you know, four wide, five wide type package. They're an 11 personnel. They've got Eric Ebron in the game as a wing tight end. But what is good about this play, as we see in a second, is that Chung basically plays the game like a linebacker. Plays this play like a linebacker. Because it's an inside run. And he's able to just scrape off the double team attempt that we're going to see here. The center and the right guard, they're trying to work a double team on the nose tackle and then up to the second level middle linebacker. The problem is the right guard, he has to be extremely fast to get off this double and to get to Patrick Chung, because he's used to going and getting, say, a Dante Hightower. Chung's much faster, much quicker than a Dante Hightower. And so by the time the right guard, number 68, looks to wheel to that second level, Chung is already past him. And Chung works down two gaps. So he starts to play head up over the center. He works down towards his left, across the A gap, and then across the B gap, and into the B gap, tracking Naheem's down, and he chops him down for a gain of just 1 yard. And let's think about what we just basically saw. You've got five offensive linemen and a tight end, so you've got six big body types working against six. And it's not, you know, four defensive tackles and two linebackers. It's three down linemen, two linebackers, and a safety. But the quickness and the recognition from Chun allow him to sort of scrape down and make this play and chop it down for a 1 yard gain. And I think if you're Bill Belichick, when you get your team, you know, your defense into second and nine situations, that's sort of ideal. Short of a no gain or, you know, getting a loss on the play, you'll take that, especially when you can take it with, you know, a 3-2-6 defense. And what's dawned on me, and maybe I'm just slow on the uptake here, is that, you know, rather than going with a 3-3-5 package when you get rid of, you know, Landon Roberts, which they do a lot of, okay? But now you've got flexibility. We know Belichick. We know how much he values versatility. He values flexibility, the ability to sort of do multiple things as a defense or even just as a player. And here we're seeing that both in the micro with Chun himself and in the macro with this defense. In the micro, Chun, versatile player. He can do safety stuff for you. He can do both things for you. That's an inside joke. Don't worry about that. He can do safety stuff for you. He can do linebacker things for you. You can drop him down. And then sort of on the macro, taking it out a bit here, you can have a defense that can be 3-2-6 or 3-3-5 without substituting anybody. And with sort of lighter boxes, you might expect them to give up stuff in the run game. Well, Chun showed you on this play and on others an ability to sort of play like a linebacker. And you know, offensive linemen are going to be looking to work to the second level, as we just talked about with Shaq Mason. They might not be able to sort of read and react as well as Mason does. So when you get somebody who's quick in short areas like Chun, as we see on this play, right guard isn't prepared for it. Chun scrapes down, makes the play. Now look, some other guys did some great stuff where, you know, Dennis Shelton, with a four-man front, did a great job on the first offensive play of the Colts, you know, first possession of the second half. You know, he had a great play there. But a lot of their best stuff came with three-man fronts, whether it's 3-3-5 or even 3-2-6, like we've been talking about. And I think the 3-2-6 is the wave. But Chun's interception, it came on a 3-3-5. And what we have there is Adrian Claiborne uses that sort of wide nine alignment. He's well outside the left tackle. Adam Butler is aligned in that B gap between the left guard and the left tackle. He comes upfield, occupies both. We get that tackle end exchange stunt. It's Claiborne that comes around, loops into that now vacated A gap, got a free shot at Luck. Luck pressured, forces a throw. Chun's there for the interception. Now, if you remember when this season started, I said, look, the number four is going to be pivotal for the New England Patriots. Can they stop the run with four? Can they get pressure with four? I might have been wrong on that. Maybe what's more pivotal for this Patriots defense is the number three with these 3-2-6 and 3-3-5 looks. Can they continue to stop the run with them? Because if they can't, if you could stop the run with a 3-2-6 package on a, you know, consistent basis, relying on Patrick Chun, then when the defense, you know, is forced into a situation where they have to defend the pass, you're still in your, you know, dime type package with six defensive backs on the field. So maybe we just went about it all wrong. Maybe Belichick's vision all along was, I need to get some consistent contributors at linebacker, but my third linebacker, my extra linebacker, isn't going to be a linebacker. It's going to be Patrick Chun. Or maybe I'm just completely wrong. Maybe Belichick comes out and he plays a 1-1-9 package against Patrick Mahomes. You might need that to beat him. But still, the number three, that might be the more pivotal number for the New England Patriots as we head into this big matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs. Up next, I'm going to have some thoughts, Sam Darnold to Josh Allen. But first, guys, let's talk about sex. Good sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the United States, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Look, guys, girls, maybe this is something that you might want to be listening to. You know I'm about helping each other. I'm about helping your quarterback. I'm about helping each other for mental health. Now I'm going to help you in the bedroom where maybe you really want that extra bit of help. Blue Chew has a special deal for their listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use their special promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them so much for sponsoring the Locked On Patriots podcast. Up next, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, what I saw from them on their wins this Sunday. That's ahead on this Tape Tuesday installment of Locked On Patriots. Mark Schofield back with you now to close out this Tape Tuesday installment of Locked On Patriots with just some quick thoughts on two rookie quarterbacks, two of the four rookies who won starts in the National Football League this week. Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, they all notch wins. I want to start with Sam Darnold. 10 of 22 for 198, three touchdowns, one interception. Numbers are a little bit wonky. You know, only completing 45% of his passes or so. What stood out watching Darnold were a couple of things. You know, when you look at him, you still see the windup. And I think it might be becoming an issue for him. And I'll tell you why. Remember, I've long said mechanics, they're not a problem until they become a problem. What I mean by that is if the ball is getting where it needs to be, on time, in rhythm, well-placed, I don't care how the quarterback gets it there. I don't care what it looks like. Style points don't matter. But if the ball's not getting where it's supposed to be, if it's not getting where it's supposed to be on time, if the placement is off because of mechanics, then it's an issue, then it's a problem. Mechanics aren't a problem until they are. With Darnold, we saw an interception. It came on a tipped pass. The third of the game tipped at the line of scrimmage. I wonder, and you know, it's hard to tell if it's starting to play a role, but with that dip and loop to his throw in motion, if defenders are now getting an extra half split second on timing their jumps up front. Because look, you know, when as a defensive lineman, when they go quick game, three-step drop under center or one-step drop from the gun, you engage and get your arms up. That's what you're taught to do because you're not going to get home unless there's a, you know, blown protection up front. So you get the arms up, try to, you know, disrupt the pass, get into the throwing lane, tip the ball, et cetera, et cetera. I wonder if defensive players are now getting an extra sort of step towards him or an extra sort of step to get their hands up because they can see him start that throwing motion. Three tipped passes in one game is a lot. One that results in an interception is a bad thing. Some good things, though. After that tipped interception, you know, I wrote down on my notes, gun, design, throw to flat, tipped at line of scrimmage, pick. This is becoming an issue. The next play, his next passing attempt after that, gun, best throw of day. What a bleeping response. Velocity out route with man coverage, right hash mark, minus five, so his own 5 yard line to the left sideline, the 27 yard line, 22 yard out route on paper. Obviously, you're going from the right hash mark to the left sideline. It's a lot longer throw. With velocity and placement deep in your own territory, very, very nice. I thought it was a tremendous response from Sam Darnold to come back after throwing that interception to bounce right back, get back on that horse, and make probably his best throw of the day. Best throw of the day, Mark, you threw two deep balls for touchdowns. Yes, he did. Two bucket throws, too, to Robbie Anderson, which I thought were incredible. Well-placed balls in the vertical game. He also had a great read on a blitz situation midway through the second quarter, third and seven. They go empty, and with him in the shotgun, he gets blitz. He makes the right read to throw middle of the field route, gets his receiver working on a linebacker. He places the blitz with the ball. He's pressured, so it's more of a back foot throw, and the defender just gets a tip on it. I loved the read, loved it. You just need a slightly bit better throw. But, you know, for the most part, I thought you know, Darnold showed some good things. Another guy that showed some good, some bad, a little bit of up and down, what you expect with a rookie, is Josh Allen. And Allen, you know, he leads the sort of game-winning drive as time expires. He goes 10 of 19 for 82 yards. 82 yards. One interception. The interception was not on him. That was a play where he, you know, takes a snap. He goes, you know, left, middle of the field, then comes to the curl route on the right. Good throw with velocity. It gets, basically hits Andre Holmes in the face mask, gets deflected into the air, intercepted. I would not put that on him now. You know, the arm is as advertised. His best throw of the day was probably a 3rd and 10 situation in the fourth quarter. Subtle slide and move in the pocket. You know, he finds Zay Jones, who he seems to be developing a little bit of a relationship with, between receiver and quarterback. And as I wrote, kid certainly has a cannon. You can't deny the arm strength. The thing with him is everything is still the fastball. You know, he had a couple of throws. He had an in-cut to Kelvin Benjamin. Reed is great. He just throws it, you know, 800 miles an hour to his ankles. He tries a time and an anticipation throw to Kelvin Benjamin on a sort of hitch route. Everything happens at 8 million miles an hour. I still want to see him sort of get that feel that I've been asking for, that I've been waiting for to see from Josh Allen. The field goal drive, a designed swing route to Shady McCoy, and a tunnel screen. Those were his two passing attempts. So what we're seeing from Josh Allen is, yes, some development. What we're seeing from the Bills and how they're handling him, they're going the Jacksonville route, like I expected them to. Win with defense, win with the run game, minimize what he has to do. But I think Allen is still making some strides as a quarterback in the National Football League. Speaking of making strides, I'm going to be striding to the refrigerator because I'm done. My mouth is a little dry. I need another sparkling seltzer. Haven't had so many of those over the past couple of weeks of the Patriots, you know, getting some wins and getting back into the win column here. But who knows? Might need a couple on Sunday night. Hopefully not. But speaking of Sunday night, I will be back tomorrow with a crossover show with Ryan and Chris from Locked On Chiefs. Love those guys. I've been on with them a ton. Excited to talk to them about this huge matchup we've got coming our way. Patriots and Chiefs on Sunday night. Until then, keep it locked right here to me, Mark Schofield, and Locked On Patriots.